The title of my teaching is Prayer Still Works. Can you say prayer still works? Now, I'll tell you that this message was actually prepared the same night of the shooting at Stoneman High. And as a youth pastor, I was absolutely distraught by the tragedy and the wrongful deaths of those 17 angels. I cried. And I had my moment with God, and as many of you probably had as well. And you know, I stood up very, very late that night and began to pen these words that I'm going to share with you this evening, because in the midst of tragedy, there's a lot of emotions that arise, and there's a lot of things that you'd like to say, and there's a lot of things that you'd like to do, but there's one thing that always still works, and it's prayer. You know, in recent days, there's been a dangerous sentiment, and it really was the inspiration by which I penned these words. And our text this evening from James 5 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed. Can you say he prayed? And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And verse 18 says, and he prayed again. Can you say, and he prayed? And the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. You see, there's this dangerous sentiment that's really been circulating and has been popularized in our culture. And it's not just because of recent tragedies, but it's actually been circulating for the last several years. And if you've been listening, there's the undertone of the sentiment that is gravely flawed. And it's the sentiment that prayers and thoughts are not enough. And as I heard that, I heard it during Sandy Hook, and I heard it during Las Vegas, and I heard it during the Stoneman High, and you begin to hear it, and I say, church, that this is a dangerous sentiment, because it's true that prayers are not enough if prayer is not the lifestyle. It's true that prayer is not enough when communion and communication with God is not the norm. It's true that prayer is not enough when the intimacy of God has been reduced or regulated to just mere church attendance or religious expressions. And it's true that prayer is not enough when repentance and humbling ourselves before the Lord has been thrown away, and there is no turning to God in a post-Christian era. However, my question and my appeal as a minister of God is, what about you, the Christian? What about us, the believer? For us, we believe that prayer changes things because God can change things. How many of you believe that God can change things? We believe that God can change things. And I say this with stress again, that this is a very dangerous sentiment for us as a Christian to adopt this mentality. It really is a disposition within us that invalidates our appeal to the highest authority. We have access to the highest of the highest authority. And if we adopt a mentality that says prayer is not enough, then we invalidate the very faith that we say we profess. You see, prayer connects us to a higher power, higher than any political power, higher than any social medium, higher than the highest powers in this world. Now, let me tell you what I'm not speaking against. I'm not speaking against voting. I'm not saying that Christians shouldn't vote. I'm not saying that Christians shouldn't express themselves on the needs for reforms. One of the things I love that Pastor Maria said when she had the forum after that tragedy was that there's a time and a place to talk about political matters. But for us as the Christian, what do we do? You know, even when it comes to reforms, there's a godly way to talk about things. And if I could, can I teach y'all something tonight?
Go ahead. Show me
how. I want to teach on something, because when we talk about things, even when we publicize things, as believers, we live by a different principle. We are a kingdom people. And as a kingdom people, we don't speak out against leadership in divisive manners. I'm just letting y'all know this, church. Don't be mad at your Bible. We don't speak out against leadership in a divisive manner. You see, one of the lost principles in the kingdom of God today is that the kingdom of God regulates our heart, not democracy. I'm going to say that again, that the kingdom of God regulates our heart, not democracy. We are regulated by the truths and the principles and the power of God's word, what God says. And sometimes that means that we've got to withhold ourselves. You see, God even speaks to his people when they were in Babylon in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7 through 9. While they were in Babylon, why were they in captivity? Look what he says of the people. He said, and seek the peace of the city. Look what he says to the people. He says, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to live and be carried away. And watch this, underline this part. He says, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. Pray for it. You see, there's something powerful when God's people pray. You see, what I'm saying tonight, church, is that it's long overdue for the believers to wake up to their assignment. We have been called to pray. We have been called to pray. We've not been called to flock to news stations and social media. We've not been called to flock to these gatherings while prayer closets remain abandoned. Church, we've been called to pray. We've been called to appeal to the highest of the highest authorities. We've been called to enter into the heavenly realm and call out God, who has the power to turn the tides, who has the power to change the hearts of kings, who has the power to do the impossible. You see, church, I say it's a very dangerous place. Because when we devalue prayer, we devalue what is by far our most powerful weapon against Satan. Yes. Prayer. God says it like this in his word in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Many of you know it best. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Look what he says. And when they seek my face and when they turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And I love this last part. He says, I will heal their land. Look what he says. He said, I will heal their land. I want you to get something down in your spirit, church. God is still the God of nations. He's still the God of nations. I want you to really get that down in your spirit. That nations still belong to God. God can still heal nations. Wherever there is a praying remnant, things can happen. He said, I can come. I can heal the land. I can do what you thought could never be done. But are there a praying people? Even in the darkest of hours, prayer can shake the very foundations of things. I love the story in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. The apostles were being persecuted, but the Bible says that they prayed. It says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with more boldness. I want you to see something, that these people were living under persecution, but when they prayed, something happened. How many of you believe that when we pray, something happens? You see, these men and women were being hunted for their lives. But from the place of prayer came an extra level of supernatural boldness. Now, I'll be frank tonight. There are many reasons why Christians do not pray. And I'll be blunt. Fear, trials and tribulations, lack of immediate visible results, consumed with emotions, life experiences, or perhaps God just doesn't work fast enough for us. And church, for these very reasons is why we need to pray all the more. It's because I'm afraid that I need to pray. It's because there are anxieties that I need to pray. It's because there are depressions that I need to pray. It's because I don't see results that I need to pray. I need to pray even more. Because God can make things happen. Now, our text tonight says something very interesting. That Elijah was no different than any of us. He was no different than any of us. James said Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was a man with a nature like ours. Let me hear you say Elijah was like me. I'm pretty sure that Elijah hurt for his nation. I'm pretty sure that Elijah saw the corruption that was in the land, but the Bible does not say that Elijah went and assembled an army. It does not say that Elijah protested. It does not say that Elijah incited a rebellion or even debated. But the scripture says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain. And he prayed again that the heavens would give up the rain, and it gave up the rain. You see, church, Elijah knew the appeal that was to the highest of powers. Do you know the appeal that is to the highest of powers? Do you know that you have access to God, the God who created you, the God who has the power to call the things that are not as if though they were, the God who can speak the something out of nothing, the God who has infinite ability? I want you to understand that even from the beginning of the book, the Bible says that the earth was void and without form. And when God spoke, something happened. God has the power to bring peace out of chaos.
Yes.
And he tells us that we have access.
Hallelujah.
We have access.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
You see, I've learned a few principles from this prophet's life and from many others in the scriptures, men like Daniel. Daniel lived in Babylonian captivity. He lived in a corrupt society. Elijah was a prophet who was living during a dark hour. I just want to kind of paint the picture of the hour that Elijah was living in during that season. It was an hour of genocide. Queen Jezebel was killing prophets. She was eliminating the truth and eradicating the truth of God. It's much like the spiritual climate of the world that we live in today. Friends, there is an antichrist spirit that is in operation to silence and to shut down the truth of God, to kill out the prophetic voice within the house of God today. It exists. You can call it whatever it is. It's Jezebel spirit, whatever you want. But it is to silence the truth of God. But as I study the life of this prophet, as I study the life of many of the other greats in scriptures, I see some consistencies in their life. And I want to paint out these consistencies tonight, because my prayer is that they would become the consistencies in our life. Because I believe, again, and I will reiterate this, that when we pray, heaven moves. I believe that when we pray, God moves. And that the supernatural becomes natural inside of our lives. And that the impossible becomes possible. Hallelujah. I believe it. The first characteristic is persistence. This is a notable characteristic of people of prayer. Is that they are persistent. You see, when you are persistent, persistent is marked by the voice that says, I will not stop. Let me hear you say, I will not stop. You see, this is the voice of persistence. You see, if you study Elijah's life and perhaps many of the other greats throughout scriptures, you'll see that their life was not marked by a prayer. It was marked by consistent prayer, continual prayer, relentless prayer, a persistency that says, I will not stop. Church, is there a voice inside of you that says, I will not stop. I will not stop seeking the Lord until change happens. I will not stop falling on my face and fasting until change happens. I will not stop seeking heaven until change happens. You see, my Bible tells me that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and it is the violent that take it by force. In other words, it is a relentless, persistent faith that is going to enter into the realms of the heavenlies and pull down heaven to earth. It's a violent, persistent faith. I will not stop seeking the Lord, because it's the Lord that changes things. I'm going to ask you again, church. How many of you believe it's that God changes things? God changes things. The second characteristic is endurance. I see persistence. The greats are always marked by persistence. But I also see that the greats are also marked by an endurance. You see, endurance is the voice that says, I must keep going. Let me hear you say,
I must keep going.
You see, persistence says, I will not stop, but endurance says, I must keep going. You see, endurance, and I really want you to get this point in your spirit, endurance is that part of you that kicks in when the emotions are spent. Please understand that. When the emotions are spent, when motivation is lost. Friends, I'm going to tell y'all that motivation is not enough. You see, there's some people that they're constantly waiting to get hyped up. They're constantly waiting to get riled up. But when you have a spirit of endurance, it's not waiting on somebody to hype you up. There's a voice inside of you that says, I must keep going. I cannot stop until I see change.
Yes, yes.
Until I see it.
Keep it moving.
Now, you know, you got a lot of people that they start out in prayer, but they don't endure in prayer.
Oh my God.
I call this the Ronald McDonald effect. Let me tell y'all what I mean by that. How many of y'all remember my man Ronald McDonald? You guys remember back in the 80s when he had that whole crew? Y'all remember, right? Grimace, those little birdie girl, Hamburglar. You guys remember that, right? Captain Hamburger. When was the last time you seen a commercial with Ronald and the whole crew? He's solo. He's by himself. But I want you to understand something, church. This is a lot like how prayer is. You got a lot of folks that they start out with you, but they don't finish with you. But you got to have the heart and the drive that says, I must keep going. It doesn't matter who stands with me. I got to keep going because I believe that this works. I believe that this works. You see, don't fall into the Ronald McDonald effect. When everybody else bounces, you bounce too. No, you need to fall to your face, get on your knees, and begin to cry out to the living God who has the power to make a difference. Elijah was a man just like you. He prayed seven times. Seven times just for one small little cloud the size of a man's fist.
Oh my God.
You see, many people, they start out in prayer, but they have not beat this body into subjection. They've not beat this body into a place where their soul and their spirit is crying out, I gotta keep going. I got to keep going. You see, many people, like I said, they start out in prayer, but they don't surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit, who will always, and I want you to get this in your heart, the Holy Spirit will always take you places where your fleshly response is not enough to sustain you. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit will always take you places where your fleshly response is not enough to sustain you. It is not enough to sustain you. It's not. The Holy Spirit wars against this flesh inside of us. And every day we die more and more to this flesh, where our responses will even come to a place where we hurt for what God hurts. Friends, God, He'll make you feel what He feels when you truly have a heart that desires to see what He wants to see. When you have the heart of endurance that says, I must keep going. Souls must be won. I must see change. I believe that God can change a nation. I believe that God can change nations. I believe that God can change hearts, no matter who they are, no matter what they are. The last aspect. So we see persistence. Persistence says, I will not stop. Endurance says, I must keep going. But number three is a word that I've been spitting out almost in every message. It's the word resolve. There's got to be a resolution. You see, the voice of a resolution says, I will not leave this place. I will not leave this place. There is this deep cry and this conviction when we come to the Lord that says, I will not leave this place. I am convinced that this is the place where things happen, that prayer is the place where things happen. You see, until we get back to this place, church, where we are convinced that our war is not fought in the White House, our wars are not fought in Capitol Hill, our wars are fought when we fall to our knees, when we begin to cry out to God and begin to cry out to the God who has the power to change things. I want you to write this text down, and I want you to see if you can see what I see here. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. The Bible says that the king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it. God guides it wherever he pleases. Do you see what I see in this text? How many of y'all see what I see in this text? I'm going to read the text again. It says the king's heart. Let me say it like this. The president's heart. Congress's heart. The Senate's heart. The Supreme Court's heart. The governor's heart. The mayor's heart. Is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it. God guides it where he pleases. Look at what he says. God has the ultimate authority. Get this in your spirit, church. God has the ultimate authority over the powers that sit over us. God has the ultimate authority over the powers that sit over us. Whether that power is named Congress, whether it's named Senate, whether it's named President, whether it's named Supreme Court, God is the one with the final word. I want you to get this in your spirit. God is the one with the final word. Let me hear you say, God is the one with the final word. He's got the final word. You see, church, in a normal system of checks and balances, we may feel like we as the people have no real representation. But I really want you to understand this. It's something that Elijah knew. It's something that Daniel knew. It's something that the apostles knew. It's almost like a little kid who's got a secret that they just can't hold in. It's like, I know something you don't know. It's that I don't have to go through you. I can go to my Father who has the power to speak to you. God has the power. God has the power. You see, as a Christian in church, I want to reaffirm your calling. As a Christian, you have direct access to the ultimate authority. The ultimate authority. You got direct access. I can pray, and God can change things. I want you to get this last verse in your spirit. It's from Hebrews 4:16. The Word of God says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help when we need it most. That's from the New Living Translation. I love it. Let us come boldly before the throne of mercy and grace. Not with timidity, not beggarly, not as though we have no authority, but with a boldness, because we know our God can. Amen. Our God will. Yes. He can do the impossible. As the worship team gets ready to come up, my altar call is simple tonight, church. And it really is a call back to prayer. It's a call back to prayer. It's a call back to our knees. It's a call back to a place where our appeal is to the highest authority. Our appeal is to God. It's a quickening of the spirit, church. That when the flesh begins to rise up inside of you, and I'm no innocence in this either, church, because I'm a man just like you. And my flesh has risen up many times inside of me, but the Holy Spirit begins to quicken me. And there's a word, like the prophet Isaiah said, that in that hour there will be a voice that speaks in your ear. There's a word that reminds me that says, what did I call you to do? What did I call you to do? In the place of prayer, I have sobriety. In the place of prayer, I have clarity. In the place of prayer, I have safety. In the place of prayer, I know how to speak right. In the place of prayer, I am quickened. In the place of prayer, I hear the mysteries of God. In the place of prayer, I discern the heart of God. In the place of prayer, I hear the word of God. In the place of prayer, God speaks his direction and his will. In the place of prayer, God silences me. In the place of prayer, God rebukes me. In the place of prayer, God heals me. In the place of prayer, God restores me and he nourishes me. In the place of prayer, God prepares me. Church, do you have a place of prayer? Prayer still works. It still works. My altar call, like I said, is simple. It is a commitment back to a place of prayer. It is a commitment back to a place of prayer. Not to me. Not to me. Not to an emotional appeal. But to God. To the tugging of the Holy Spirit on our hearts tonight. Saying, yes, Lord, I hear you. I hear what you're saying, God. I hear what you're saying. Look, I said this in the opening of this teaching, is that the Lord gave me this message on Valentine's Day. I tossed and I turned that night because I was mad. Come on. Who wouldn't be mad? Who wouldn't be angry? I was mad for a lot of reasons, church. I was mad because I pray hard for this city. I pray hard for this region. I pray hard for this county. And I took it personal because I felt like the devil walked into my territory and robbed souls. Souls. I was angry, church. I was angry. God had to deal with me. God had to deal with me. I had to shut off social media. I had to shut off the TV. It was Valentine's Day. I didn't want to spend time with my family because I was so broken. And God said, Elijah was a man just like you. And when he prayed, things happened. Church, we need to pray. We need to pray. Tonight, if you commit to returning back to a heart of prayer, I just want you to come down to the altar. Lift both hands to the Lord as a sign of surrender. And I want you to begin to tell Jesus, Lord, this is where my war is fought. My war is fought in the heavenlies. My war is fought before the throne room. My war is fought before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because it's in this place. It's in this place where the battles are won. It's in this place where I pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I want to see an earth that looks like heaven. I want to see healing as the normal course. I want to see deliverance as the normal course. I want to see this nation fall to its knees. I want to see my leaders fall to their knees and begin to cry out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But it will not happen. It will not happen if the church will not fall to her knees and cry out before the God that can make things happen. We can't gossip and pray for the same people. It can't happen that way. We must pray. We must pray. We must pray. Father, my heart's cry tonight is first and foremost a spirit of repentance. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, if we have not sought your face first. You said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Lord, tonight I repent. I repent, Lord, for the many times that I sought my intellect first, that I sought my opinions first, that I sought my political persuasions first, and not your face. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. And Lord, tonight I cry out to you that you would baptize us in a spirit of prayer, a heart of prayer. A heart, Lord God, where we long again to see heaven rain down on earth. A heart, Lord, that screams, I need you, Jesus. Our nation needs you. Our children need you. Our homes need you. Our communities need you. Our schools need you. Our government needs you. Lord, we need you. We need you. Our jobs need you. Lord, we need you. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. We need you, God. We, your people, cry out to you. And we say, we need you. We need you, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord. Father, we need you. And we turn to a heart of prayer, a spirit of prayer, a spirit of prayer. Father, tonight we humble ourselves and we confess that we don't have the answers. We don't know everything, Jesus. We don't understand everything, oh God. But we know that you have the power. We know that you have the power, Jesus. We know that the hearts of kings, we know, Lord God, that the hearts of nations are in your hands. We know, Lord God, that you can do the impossible. We know, Lord, Lord God, that you call the end from the beginning, Lord God. Lord, you call the times that are, Lord, from former ages, Lord God. Lord, you are the one that knows all things, Lord God. So tonight, Lord, our appeal is to you. I appeal to you, Jesus. Lord, in the court system of life, my appeal is to you. My appeal is to the throne room. My appeal is to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My appeal is to the Savior of my soul. My appeal is to the Lamb of God. My appeal is to Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord, our healer, Lord God. Jesus, Jesus,